D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Easter is the holiest day on the Christian calendar. But why should we believe that the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is true? And what does it mean for you? Find out on this special Easter edition of Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. On this Easter Sunday, what a glorious privilege to proclaim the good news that He is risen. He is risen indeed. On today's program, you'll hear from Dr. Kennedy on how the resurrection of Jesus banishes our greatest fear. And you'll discover how that resurrection rests upon unshakable evidence. As we begin, perhaps nobody has done more over the past few decades to bring the evidence for Christ's life, death, and resurrection to a wider audience than Lee Strobel. Lee was an atheist who set out to debunk his wife's Christian faith, only to discover it was true and verified by history. His best-selling book, The Case for Christ, has now been turned into a major motion picture. A few weeks ago, I had a chance to interview Lee Strobel for this Easter program. You've got a remarkable story. It's a pretty encouraging story when people hear about someone who was such a deeply convicted skeptic coming to faith in Christ. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, my background's in journalism and law, so I tend to be someone who responds to evidence and facts and data, try to filter out the emotional side of things and deal with the intellectual side. Just the facts, exactly. So I think that that was a contributor to me being an atheist. I wouldn't say it's the only contributor. I think it usually isn't for people. I think intellectual obstacles can be a problem, but there's also emotional issues and moral issues. You know, I was happy in my sin. Yeah. I didn't want to change my life. And, you know, I had a difficult relationship with my father. And often, as we've seen through history of famous atheists, that can lead to people who are reticent or reluctant to meet a heavenly father if their earthly father's hurt or disappointed them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your whole effort in rendering that, what a marvelous book and now a movie, great movie, is an apologetic effort.
Well, you know, Christianity is unique among world religions in that it invites investigation. It challenges you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:17, where he said, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Yeah. So in a sense, he's saying, if you can falsify the Christian faith by showing the resurrection didn't happen, you're fully justified in walking away.
Right.
So we look at the evidence. What is the evidence? Well, briefly, I think three things convince me. Well, first, the execution of Jesus is historically indisputable.
Right.
We have 5 ancient sources outside the Bible confirming his execution. Even the great atheist New Testament scholar, Gerd Ludemann, says that Jesus' death by crucifixion is indisputable. Secondly, the empty tomb.
Yeah.
You know, what hit me about that is even the opponents of Jesus conceded that the tomb was empty. And we have sources outside and inside the Bible that tell us that when the disciples began proclaiming that Jesus had risen, what the opponents said was, the disciples stole the body. Now, what is that? That's a cover story. They're conceding the tomb is empty. They're trying to explain how it got empty.
Right.
So nobody was saying that the tomb was filled with the body of Jesus. Everybody was saying it was gone.
Right.
And then thirdly, and perhaps the clincher, is that we have 9 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament confirming and corroborating the conviction of the disciples that they encountered the resurrected Jesus. Yeah. That is an avalanche of historical data. When you consider most of what we know from ancient history is from 1 or 2 sources, but 9 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament, that is a convincing amount of evidence that convinced me that the disciples encountered the resurrected Jesus. It changed their lives. It changed everything about them. They were willing to die for. We have seven ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament that say that the disciples were willing to suffer lives of deprivation and suffering as a result of their proclamation.
You're doing all your research and you discover all this, and all of a sudden a light dawns on you and you went, okay, this is all true.
Yeah.
What was the next kind of transition? You said, okay, this is true. What does that have to mean to me?
Yeah. You know, it's a good question. I came to the conclusion after a year and 9 months of investigating this, and of course the movie on The Case for Christ kind of compresses that to 90 minutes, but which is fine, but it was a long struggle.
You were a quick study.
I was a quick study, that's right. So finally I said to myself, I've stuffed my head with all this information for 2 years. I got to reach a verdict. So I sat down, reviewed all the evidence, and realized that in light of the avalanche of evidence that points so powerfully toward the truth of Christianity, it would have taken more faith to maintain my atheism than to become a Christian, mm-hmm. that the scales had tipped decisively. So I said, I believe it. I believe based on the data that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, he backed it up by returning from the dead. Yeah. But that's not enough, because I looked at John 1:12. Says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in his name. So I said, okay, that forms an equation of what it means to become a child of God. Believe plus receive equals become. This movie kind of uses that as a meme that emerges. And yeah. We want people to think about that, because my bet is there's going to be thousands of people who are going to come in that theater thinking, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I agree with all this evidence. I can recite the Apostles' Creed. You know, great. And good.
I'm good.
That's good that they're there, but it's not just knowing. It's not just believing. There's receiving. And so that next step of saying, repenting of your sin, confessing it, turning from it, receiving this free gift of forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ, and then Bible says you become born again, then you become a child of God. Now you can have a relationship with God that will be the biggest joy of your life in this world and then continue on in a perfect way in the world to come.
As Lee Strobel just shared with us, the Christian faith is based upon strong historical evidence. But in order to appropriate the work Christ has done in our behalf, we have to believe and receive him. When we do, Jesus has the power to cure our greatest fear, the fear of death, as Dr. D. James Kennedy explains.
It is a psychological axiom that what we most fear, we most earnestly attempt to suppress. Is it not true? And what man most of all fears is death. And we most definitely live in the age of denial of death. And though people try their best to not think about it, it moves irresistibly and ineluctably closer to them with every passing hour. So that, as one great intellectual said, our whole life is spent trying not to think about our death. How true that is. We rush from one thing to the other, trying not to think. So there is one thing that we can do with death, is to deny it. A second thing that people do is to distort it and make it into something other than it really is. And so in this materialistic and secularistic age, which takes no thought for a God or for a life to come, which is the meaning of secularism, we find that people have distorted death into something merely natural, you see, not to be feared because it's just a part of living. It's as natural as breathing to stop breathing. We're told by the Hemlock Society that it's nothing to fear at all. Why, it's going to be an end to all of our unhappiness. We are going to get rid of all of our troubles, and we will sleep blissfully thereafter. You know, it's interesting that Satan's ploy is to, as C.S. Lewis said, keep people's minds fixed upon the stream of things and call that reality. But never let them ask what reality really means. And so people just don't think. They are led like dumb brute beasts over the precipice and into the eternal pit. As you contemplate the end of your existence in this world, does it fill you with terror? My friends, it doesn't have to. Jesus Christ came that he might deliver them who through the fear of death have been subject to bondage all their life long. And you can have no fear of it at all. And what an incredible deliverance that is. How different it is for believers than for those who have no faith, for whom all life is desolate. And there is no hope, there is nothing but hopelessness and despair in the future. That, my friend, is Easter morning without the resurrection. Hopelessness and unmitigated despair. But there came another. Down from the mansions of glory and on to the hill of Golgotha, the place of a skull, and there atop that like skull-shaped hill, Jesus was skewered to a cross and endured the eternal wrath of God. But 3 days later, on this very morning, as the angel descended and rolled back the stone from that tomb in glistening robes of white, Jesus, our conquering King, strode forth and cried, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall live forevermore. Is the hope that Christ gives us this Easter day. He came to deliver us who through all of our lifetime by the fear of death were kept in bondage. Are you in those shackles today? Do you still fear the King of Terrors? You need not. Christ, on seeing that horrid specter, embraced him to himself, and in dying, death died in him. And in rising again, life lives for all of those that will put their trust in him. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. On this resurrection day, dear friend, may that victory be yours.
As Dr. Kennedy just shared, the fear of death can be utterly banished from our own lives, all because Jesus himself overcame death by rising and walking out of the tomb nearly 2,000 years ago. But the Bible is also clear, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, our faith is in vain, and we should be pitied. So how can we know? Can we believe the gospel accounts of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, especially when prominent scholars today attack those accounts in programs and documentaries everywhere we turn? Here's our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb.
The Gospels tell us about the birth, life, ministry, miracles, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. But are they true history?
Right now we live in a time where the assumption is that the Bible as a whole cannot be trusted, and the Gospels are particularly put under attack for that.
The Gospels are historically reliable biographies of Jesus.
They are immensely reliable when you compare their evidence with the evidence we have outside Scripture from the ancient world.
The Gospels have come under fire lately. For example, a few years ago, Newsweek magazine had a cover story on what they called the myths of Jesus, written by a former professed evangelical, Dr. Bart Ehrman. Dr. Ehrman is a leading skeptic who writes best-selling books to try to debunk the faith, such as Forged, which postulates that much of the New Testament documents are supposed forgeries.
I've had an opportunity to debate Ehrman on two occasions in front of live audiences, and I thought they went really well. In fact, I've had a number of people say that they've come closer to Christianity after hearing it because of Ehrman's arguments being so weak. It shouldn't surprise us when we see major magazines like Newsweek, Time Magazine, and on occasion Popular Mechanics get involved and give us some article about how scholars have uncovered the truth about who Jesus really was. Jesus sells.
I always tell people, don't get your theology from some of those programs on the History Channel or the Discovery Channel, because they're very biased.
In the Newsweek article, Ehrman says about the Gospels in general, these are books that meant to declare religious truths, not historical facts. So is it possible to separate religious truths from historical facts?
You cannot separate the two. If you do, then it's no longer spiritual or religious truth that has any value. Rather, it must be an honest reporting of what happened in the case of Jesus. This really took place at a given point in history that can be checked up historically, geographically, and archaeologically.
I think a lot of events in the Gospels can be shown to be historically authentic recollections of those events. Now, certainly, there are going to be events in the Gospels that we cannot prove historically. But the same goes for any other ancient biography or history. So we don't say it didn't happen, we just say, I can't prove it historically. I think one of the major stumbling blocks for skeptical scholars today is the whole issue of miracles. If there were no miracles in the Gospels, they wouldn't have any problems with them in terms of being historically reliable sources about Jesus.
If we can't trust the historicity of the account, we can't trust the theology.
Secular ancient historians, when they examine the biblical record, find a lot more truth and reliability in scriptural records than do people who should be in favor of this background, namely religious theologians.
Ehrman states, these gospel sources, whatever else they are not historically reliable descriptions of what really happened when Jesus was born.
If you're using the tools of historical methodology, Professor Ehrman's statement is simply totally wrong. If you examine the material fairly, you will find that time and again, the hard evidence from the ancient world corroborates beautifully the material inside of Scripture.
I can trust these documents. These are not the fabrications of someone. It's not their imagination. This is grounded in what they've observed. It's grounded in history.
The Gospels belong to the literary style of ancient biography, and thus they have accurate reporting of history as part of their objective.
Above all, if Jesus rose from the dead, if he walked out of that tomb in actual history, then he solved the big issues in life, including the reliability of the Gospels.
Christianity rests on the historical proclamation that Jesus rose from the dead. So if you separate out and say that the historical basis is not important, I would argue you don't have Christianity.
And I tell people, if the resurrection didn't happen, then we're just playing church. We might as well spend our time doing something else, because the whole gospel, the whole truth of Christianity rises and falls on the resurrection.
The disciples of Jesus believed in the truth of the risen Jesus. This truth radically transformed their lives from those who cowered at Jesus' death to now those who boldly proclaim the gospel and the message of his death and resurrection. And we know that several of them were martyred because we have multiple early independent sources that attest to this. The things that we can verify, such as Jesus' resurrection, is profound and lends plausibility to those things we can't confirm.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt, the New Testament is better attested than any other manuscript coming out of antiquity. There is no reason to doubt the reliability of the Gospels, and I would say even more strongly, the burden of proof is on those who say without basis that the Gospels are unreliable.
When you boil it all down, all of these critical attacks, which have repeatedly been made against Scripture for about 20 centuries now, are nothing new. And really, in many ways, they are people trying to get attention using a pea shooter trying to demolish the Rock of Gibraltar.
As you've just seen, we can have confidence in the biblical accounts of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the truth of those historical facts has the power to transform our hearts. The early disciples went from fleeing in fear to boldly proclaiming the name of the Lord. And we too can overcome fear when we understand these profound truths. Who doesn't want to live a bolder, more confident life? The life that Jesus' resurrection calls us to. Well, we have some exciting new resources to help you live that life faithful and confidently. Here's my dear friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy to tell us more about them. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. The first of those new resources is the new 4-DVD set called Living Without Fear, featuring 4 powerful messages from my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy. Jesus calls anxiety a sin, and yet how many of us face so many things that worry us every day? In these messages, my dad calls us to the confidence, fearlessness, and biblical hope that we've been given in Christ. If you are able to give a generous donation of $60 or more to the ongoing work of our ministry, we'll send you the 4-DVD set, Living Without Fear, plus the book of the same name, which features 2 bonus messages that are not included on the DVD set. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. The Apostle Paul tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Yet how often do we find our peace slipping away because of troubles? Troubles with our family, with our health, with our money. This set of messages, Living Without Fear, will help rebuild the foundations of security in your life or in the life of a loved one you share these messages with. And for a limited time, if you're able to give a generous donation of $60 or more, in addition to the DVD and book set, we'll also include the unique audio CD, Peaceful Meditation. This relaxing CD features a biblical reflection from my father on the 23rd Psalm, plus beautiful, rich hymns of the Christian faith played on harp. That's the 4-DVD set, Living Without Fear, the book of the same name featuring 2 bonus messages not contained on the discs, and the Peaceful Meditation CD. All is our thanks for your generous donation of just $60 or more to the ongoing work of this ministry. Or you can have just the book as our thanks for your generous donation of any amount. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
In the movie comedy, Annie Hall, a precocious child representing Woody Allen's character, is taken to a doctor for depression. When asked what's wrong, the child says, "The universe is expanding." This puzzles the doctor, so the child explains further. "The universe, you see, is everything. And if it's expanding, then someday it will break apart, and that will be the end of everything. So obviously, there's no point in doing homework." Well, that scene is played for laughs, but it deftly captures the fundamental question of our existence. Does any of this mean anything? The modern materialistic view assumes that the universe, matter, is all that exists. If that is true, then we are all merely molecules in motion. We came together accidentally, and one day we will disintegrate. And that is the end of the story. In this view, everything is ultimately random and meaningless, and the only value comes from whatever interpretation we decide to impose on this dismal universe. The young Woody Allen character is absolutely right to be depressed by that, but standing forthrightly against this nihilistic worldview is the great truth we celebrate today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Jesus has overcome death, it is possible for us to live forever. Eternal life is available to us under the lordship of the one who created everything and rules over all. Therefore, life, love, work, marriage, and family all have real meaning. The universe is not all there is, and we are not just accidents awaiting eventual death in its disintegration. Because matter is not all there is, everything matters. Through faith in Christ, we are eternal beings, children of the living God. Death is a curse brought by sin, but it will not ultimately win the day. Instead, the curse will be reversed, and God's creation will feature only life everlasting. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked out of a tomb in Jerusalem and changed everything. That Easter event is not something to be celebrated only today, but every moment of our lives. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom, and we wish you and yours a happy and blessed Easter. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time on Truths That Transform.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
We are, as preachers of God's Word, speaking with authority as ones under authority.
Down through the centuries, churches have been the ones who have moved to get rid of most of the great evils of our world.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD or your gift to this ministry of any amount. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.